Main Nashville Sports Network. Let's talk races. This is Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Here they come to the line. Green flag goes in the air, and the field thunders off to turn one for the first time.
Down the back straightaway they fly. Still no verdict in that battle for the number one position. Keselowski by a bumper up high. Joey Logano down low.
Three-way fight for the lead goes to two.
Logano finally clears William Byron and takes sole possession of the lead.
Trouble back straightaway. Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric get hooked together. Joey Logano has now led more laps in the NASCAR All-Star race than anyone else.
Kyle Larson's in the wall. He just got the fence and he got it hard midway between one and two.
Here's Christopher Bell. The bump and run move is on in turn two.
Takes Logano all the way to the fence at the exit of turn number two. Side by side down the back straightaway. Here comes Chastain. He's thinking three wide to the top. Bell runs Logano wide. Christopher Bell to the lead.
For the first time in his NASCAR Cup Series career, Christopher Bell is an all-star race winner.
And that's how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network, as heard here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. And welcome into another edition of Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Chase McCabe with you, and it's all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. We're just a couple of weeks away, a week and a half away from the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend. You can still get your tickets by going to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or calling 1-866-RACE-TIX. We have a huge show planned tonight. Not one driver, not two, but three NASCAR Cup Series drivers are going to join us here on the program. Brad Keselowski, who drives the number six and is co-owner of RFK Racing. He's going to join Ryan Preece, who drives for RFK Racing. He's going to join the show as well. And then Ricky Stenhouse Jr. as well. So we are looking forward to having those guys on with us. So let's get into it. Let's react to the All-Star race. You just heard it there. It was so much fun. The racing, the back and forth that these guys had, I thought was fantastic. I really liked the short track package and the tire that NASCAR had for North Wilkesboro. And look, if they're ready for a points race, I'm all for it. I support it. Would love to see it at the North Wilkesboro Speedway, because I thought it was a ton of fun for them in the All-Star race. And usually, I mean, the last few years, just being honest with you, the All-Star race has been kind of boring. To see Christopher Bell chase down Joey Logano like he did, Logano led 139 laps, Bell only 28. I thought it was very compelling and a lot of fun. So what did you think? You can tweet at me at ChaseOnGame. And let me know. But Christopher Bell, you know, we talked about Kyle Larson last week and how, you know, he's very much in the mix and showing his dominance. He's obviously attempting the double this weekend. Well, I think C. Bell reminded everybody that he was there too, that he's won three points paying races, and he did it again with an all-star win at North Wilkesboro. What a really, really cool finish. Here was Christopher Bell with Fox Sports after the win.
North Wilkesboro, how about that one? Woo! Yeah, that right there is absolutely incredible. And North Wilkesboro, best short track on the schedule.
Are you saying you want a points race?
Let's go.
Hey, I have to ask you about these guys right here. It all started yesterday with that unbelievable stop, the two-tire stop. Almost hit your guy. You guys pulled it off and won the heat race. What do you have to say about the pit crew and what they're doing this year for you?
Man, they're the best. I mean, there's nothing else to say, and this sport can be so humbling, because behind the car, behind the wheel, you're just a small part of success. And these boys right here, Adam Stevens on the pit box, all the mechanics, all the engineers that put this thing together, they're the big picture. I'm the guy that gets to sit up here and talk to you and take pictures, but without them, I'm nobody, and I owe it all to these guys.
I got to tell you, I love that. I love that he's a team-first guy, that he's thinking his guys. And they try and put an emphasis on that with the All-Star race, which I think is really, really cool. But he earned it. I mean, he earned it. He chased down Logano. They had that promoter's caution, which we'll hear from Logano here in just a second, and I'll kind of give you my thoughts on that. But I just thought, what a performance by him. And I think we're going to be talking about Christopher Bell quite a bit for a long time. I mean, he's, to me, up there with the type of caliber, with Logano, with Larson, with what they're able to do. But, I mean, Bell's another one of those guys. Kind of reminds me of a guy that used to drive the number 20 in Tony Stewart, that he can drive anything with a steering wheel. And C. Bell is young. I mean, I think he's shown that he just has that talent, that tenacity. So that was really cool to see. Now, on the other side, I mentioned Joey Logano. He led the most laps, probably deserved to get the win. He didn't. Regan Smith did the interview with him from Fox Sports and said that, you know, he thought it was exciting and everything. This was Logano's answer.
I'm glad you had a blast. I'm pissed off right now. I just, dang it, we had the fastest car. Michelle Penzo Mustang was so fast. And, you know, you get the, I don't know, trying to choose my words correctly on the caution situation. And obviously I got bit by it, so I'm the one frustrated, obviously. But, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I felt like the fall off wasn't too bad as the sun went down. And we had six cars or so stay out with us. I thought maybe we can pull them off, but the 20 had a good enough restart to clear too many of them too fast, and I couldn't get away in time. It took me 6-7 laps to get my car up and rolling again, and I did all I could do to hold them off, and he got under me and just released the brake, gave me no option, right? And he kind of just ran me up into the wall, and if I could have got to him, he was going around after a move like that, I just couldn't get back to him. It's just too much to try to make up with the tire deficit, so just frustrated after you lead so many laps and cars so fast and you don't win, it hurts quite a bit.
So some of you are gonna say, here's baby Joey crying again because he lost, and then some of you are probably gonna be like me and go, I'm okay with him being pissed off. I got no problem being mad. So you're mad at a guy because he's mad he lost. Okay, all right, I got no problem with that whatsoever. The dude had the car. The tires fell off. You know, there was this caution that, look, it's the All-Star race, so you want to create some different rules. I loved that there were no stage breaks, that they just ran the 250 laps and then, you know, had the only, I guess, gimmick caution they had was was the promoter's caution where Michael Waltrip dropped the flag, which was kind of funny. But so I was kind of cool with that, without the stage breaks and stuff like that. But he has every right to be mad. I mean, he lost, so it's okay to be pissed off. But this was the comment he made about the gimmick caution, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, I'm all about no gimmicks with the caution. I'm all about that. I'm a little... Me and Marcus Smith aren't seeing eye to eye right now, okay? I got to have a word with him.
I mean, he was laughing. He was trying to play it off, but you could certainly see the frustration. My thing, I used to like when they would invert the field when the All-Star race. You know, I thought that kind of added something to it when it was at Charlotte. I mean, so they're going to add gimmicks. It was worth a shot. I like that it gave us the restart. It made it exciting. You had three and four wide. You're going to hear, you know, some of the other drivers talk about that. So I don't hate it. I don't love it. Like, I hate it for Joey, but I also love it for Christopher Bell. So I think I'm kind of split on that when it comes to what the, what that promoter's caution, as they called it, meant. But I certainly understand Joey's frustration on it and, you know, what kind of happened there. So it is what it is. Christopher Bell is the All-Star winner. He gets that $1,000, and Joey comes home a bridesmaid. Ross Chastain was third, Alex Bowman fourth, Chase Elliott fifth, William Byron sixth. So another solid run for Hendrick Motorsports. Bowman, Chase Elliott, and William Byron are all there together. Tyler Reddick, seventh, Kyle Busch, eighth, Chase Briscoe, ninth, and Chris Buescher rounded out the top 10. Kyle Larson was in contention, and he didn't even practice and qualify the car. He finished 21st. had some issues, and I felt awful for Brad Keselowski. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes about their night. I mean, they had the speed. He led he led 62 laps of the 250, and you know, had issues, got mired back there after caution and pit stops and stuff. So I really hated it for BK, but another good run by him. So that's how it all shook out with the All-Star race at the North Wilkesboro Speedway. Hitting some other things that have happened in the racing world this week. How about, and we're going to talk about the Indy 500 a little bit later, but how about Team Penske and what happened there with all three of their cars? And there's been some major fallout from that, because Joseph Newgarden from here is going to have to go to the back. Will Power. So what ended up happening earlier today is Team Penske announced that there were going to be departures of three top executives after what was the cheating scandals, what it's being called, ahead of the Fast 12 qualifying on Sunday afternoon. Tim Cindric, who is Team Penske's team president and race strategist for Joseph Newgarden, he has been relieved of his duties. That's Austin's father. He's out, and he's been there a long time with Team Penske, ran the NASCAR part, and then kind of moved over doing more just the IndyCar stuff this year. But I mean, that's something he's really been in charge of. They also said goodbye to Ron Ruzwetsky, who is the managing director and race strategist for Will Power, and Kyle Moyer, who is the general manager and race strategist for Scott McLaughlin. All three of them gone from Team Penske. Team owner Roger Penske said, quote, "Nothing is more important than the integrity of our sport and our race teams." And keep in mind, Mr. Penske also owns the NTT IndyCar Series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He goes on to say, "We have had organizational failures during the last 2 years, and we had to make necessary changes. I apologize to our fans, our partners, and our organization for letting them down," end quote. This is all stems from when Power and Newgarden were scheduled to hit the track for qualifying. Their number 2 and number 12 cars were pulled out of line, brought to the garage, because teams noticed the attenuator, which is a part of a car you're not allowed to modify. I don't really know what exactly that does, to be completely honest, but they said it had been sealed off. McLaughlin wrecked in practice, didn't attempt a qualifying lap, but they noticed his was fine, wasn't touched, but this was something that I guess they had modified, and therefore they got in trouble. You know, I mentioned Tim Cindric. He's been with Penske back since 1999. Ruzwetsky was there since 2005, and Moyer began in 2015. Cindric was the president of Team Penske since January 2006, which he oversaw NASCAR, won the four championships in the Cup Series, six owner titles in the Xfinity Series. So did a lot there. He announced he was stepping down as team president earlier this year, but he remained in charge of the IndyCar Series program and led strategy for Newgarden's team. So pretty big development with those guys in the news there. So certainly something to keep an eye on, who's going to take over and those roles for Team Penske. And we'll see how it affects, you know, our guy Joseph Newgarden when it comes to the Indy 500 coming up this weekend. Also, the Hall of Fame for NASCAR, the 2026 class, has been announced, and it's a three-person group, which is the 16th class since the Hall of Fame was founded in 2010, and it is Handsome Harry Gant, Ray Hendrick, and Kurt Busch. So really cool to see those guys get in. In addition, they also announced the great Humpy Wheeler, who was the recipient of the Landmark Award for Outstanding Contributions to NASCAR, of course, longtime president of the Charlotte Motor Speedway. How fitting that Humpy gets to find out he's a Landmark Award winner for the Hall of Fame with this weekend, because this was always his favorite weekend. But hats off to Kurt Busch, who caught up with NASCAR.com's Shannon Spake and kind of talked about the emotions that he went through of getting the call to the Hall.
you know, I had to go like into racer mode. I had to kind of stay focused on the emotions of it, but also you're listening to all of the statistics and all of the heroes that I looked up to and raced against, and the ones that are on the ballot with me, everyone's deserving. And I was fingers crossed, hoping that it would happen. But either way, I would still be here to celebrate our past, our present, and our future. And now to be in the Hall of Fame, I'm just a blue-collar kid out of Vegas where my dad would give me a list of car parts to go and get from the junkyard. And then when he realized that I paid too much one time, he had to go to the junkyard and sweat that guy. But we were just finding car parts, and Mom worked extra jobs to put gas and tires on the cars, and it was just a family operation of fun. We never expected it to be a professional type of thing.
Yeah, and what's going to be cool is they're going to have two Hall of Famers, because Kyle Busch is a lock as well. But, you know, you can say what you want about Kurt. There's a lot of people that don't like him. He's a hell of a race car driver. He's a championship-winning driver. He's won a Daytona 500. He's, you know, was always in contention, won a bunch of races. So the resume was certainly there. Harry Gant is obviously another one that I think should have been in, as well as Ray Hendrick. So really cool to see that in Humpy Wheeler, but with the Hall of Fame announcements coming up, or that they just had. So congratulations to all of those involved. Coming up next, Brad Keselowski is going to join the show. You will hear from Brad and his All-Star Weekend, and also looking ahead to the Coke 600. That is next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Chasing Checkers is on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Back here, Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, and excited to have our next guest on with us. I told him before we came on the air, man, I was pulling for him in the All-Star race. Brad Keselowski, the driver of the number 6 for RFK Racing, is on the line with us. And Brad, it was a good start. You led some laps, but I know the finish didn't go the way you wanted.
Yeah, it was a great start. You know, great qualifying effort to get on the pole for the All-Star race, win the heat race. I think we led the first 30, 40 laps of the race, which was fun. And then just didn't quite come together there. We weren't quite fast enough to stay in the lead, and got shuffled there. And ultimately, I ended up running a little too hard and hitting the fence and ending our day. So disappointing finish to what looked like a great start of a weekend. And we just got to put all the pieces together. You know, the great thing about it is we're showing the potential that this team has. You know, the last two or three weeks, we've run up front and we're in position. We just got to put it all together when it counts. And so got Charlotte this weekend, the Coke 600. Big race for our sport, big race for me. One I'd like to win again. Felt like I was going to win it again last year in 2024. We were pushing hard for the lead and almost had the pass, and the yellow came out, and the rain came, and the race ended. That was a big bummer. But, you know, I got one of those trophies, trying to get a second one. I'm going to be greedy. Big race for our sport and big race for me.
And, you know, I was listening to the guys in the booth last night, and Kevin and Clint, and said, you know, the speed's there. Like, you showed like you had the speed. Do you feel like that you guys are pretty close?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yes. Our mile and a half in particular is going to be our strength. You know, the intermediate type racetracks. And so that's really fun. We just, we got to put all the pieces together. Pit crew is really coming together. You know, we made a lot of changes there over the off season, and they've had a great couple weeks. So that's exciting. And for me, I think my confidence is growing in our team and how I drive the car, and just need to connect it all.
Brad Keselowski is with us. So you mentioned the 600. How do you prepare differently for that one with it being such a long race?
Well, good question. You know, I think you just do the basics right. You know, don't out-trick yourself. Eat well, hydrate well, stay focused, take care of your body.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obviously a fun one to watch for the fans. But obviously long for your drivers. With that said, the Kyle Larson's attempting to run the double again. How good is that for the sport to have that crossover with IndyCar? And obviously, you know Mr. Penske very well and what he's doing with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and IndyCar. But how big is that to have a driver like Kyle that could really be in contention to win both of these races?
Oh, I think it's awesome. It's great for him. It's great for both IndyCar and NASCAR, and it's great for our fans. It's a hell of a story. Fun to watch. I'm glad he's doing it. I'm glad anybody would do it. You know, it's something that I had aspired to do for a while and never got the opportunity. But I tremendously respect Kyle for doing it.
Do you look at it, you know, as a driver and maybe now as an owner too, would you like to see it come back the other way? Like one of their, you know, I know Helio Castroneves ran the Daytona 500, but, you know, somebody like a Joseph Newgarden or one of their big stars try and attempt the double coming back the other way?
You know, that'd be interesting. I never thought of it that way. An IndyCar driver trying to double with NASCAR. You know, the challenge with that is the NASCAR side seems to be more challenging to get a team to embrace it than the IndyCar side. But, you know, it's an interesting thought nonetheless.
As you look at things in big picture now, not only as the driver of the six car, but one of the owners of RFK, you know, how has that balance been for you as, you know, focusing on your stuff, but also what Priest and what Buescher are doing as well with their cars?
Yeah, you know, we want all three teams to win. That's the simplest way to put it. And, you know, we've come close to that. We haven't been able to do that. But, you know, I want to see all of us be successful. I want to put all three cars in the playoffs and want to contend down the stretch as a Tier 1 organization does.
Is part of this for you kind of, you know, and you got some years left as a driver, but paying it forward, so to speak. I mean, you had guys like Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Rick Hendrick and obviously Roger Penske, you know, in your career do a lot of good things for you and help you make such a great career for yourself. Is this part of your way of not only creating what's next for Brad after the driving part's over, but also helping some of these guys like so many helped you?
You know, I think altruism is important in my life, regardless of whether it's in motorsports or somewhere else. You know, I have a Czech Flag Foundation. I think it's really important to give back more than what you've received, and I'm trying to do that. I've been blessed in a lot of ways, so I don't know if I'll ever be able to give back more than I've received, but I'm trying to do what I can, you know, to pay it back and in some ways pay it forward to other people. And I love that part of my life. It's incredibly rewarding. I think gratitude is important as a person to have. And, you know, it's fun to see that work its way into other people's careers and see them be successful. So I'm committed to that in all aspects of my life.
Talking with Brad Keselowski, what's it like working with Jack Roush?
You know, Jack's an interesting guy. Obviously, you know, very smart, very technical. You know, he's in a season of life that makes it hard for him to be, you know, every day engaged. So, you know, we probably talk once every week or two, where I try to catch him up on what's going on. I'll probably call him actually here later today. So thanks for the reminder. But, you know, what I really respect about Jack is he pushes very hard for accountability, which is something that is important to, and again, outside of even our business, but all aspects of our life. And, he drives accountability harder than anybody I've ever seen.
As you've gone through all this, Brad, as a driver and an owner, and we're in, what is it, year four or five of the next gen car or the Gen 7 car. I mean, what has that process been like? Because I've heard people say that it puts things more in the driver's hands, but you got to know what you're doing because it's such a difficult car to drive. So what have been some things that you've kind of learned with that through this entire process?
Well, the next-gen car just drives different than other cars. And, you know, you have to relearn certain aspects, particularly, you know, it doesn't have a lot of power, but it has a really big tire. And so you can get away with things you couldn't get away with in the old car. And you have to manage those things and push the car harder in a lot of ways.
So with that, it brings me to the Nashville Super Speedway coming up here in a couple of weeks. I feel like the racing has been really good. And you can remember way back when you won out here in the Xfinity series earlier in your career, but with the next gen car, I feel like it's created some really good racing. Maybe the resin has something to do with that they put down, but I feel like we've seen a good show the last 4 years.
Yeah, last year was really crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was something.
the fuel situation and guys staying out, and just a bit of a mess, quite honestly, of a race. But I would agree the racing there has been pretty good. The resin was a big help. Made the track multi-groove. You know, I applaud NASCAR and all the work they put into that racetrack.
Well, it's funny. I'm the track announcer, so we're up in the booth, you know, watching all the restarts and stuff. And I keep looking at my partner, going, "There is no way the 22 has any gas left. I mean, do we need to check the roll cage or something at this point?"
No,
I mean that, like, I was stunned that he was able to hold on, and then I think he finally ran out during the burnout. But like, it was just unbelievable watching the fuel run with that car. And I mean, I don't know how you learn anything from that, but it was pretty spectacular.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what was more impressive to me is that this car picked up the fuel when it was low like that, and they made something of it. Very impressive.
Is Nashville a track that you kind of look at as you were talking about mile and a half, so it's a little bit under that, but as a track that maybe could be a good point for you and in your team?
Yeah. And that type of track, the mile and a half, I guess technically that's a mile and a quarter, but really bodes well for us. How we have our cars built, the way we drive them, I think we're going to be really good at Nashville. I have high hopes.
Well, I look forward to it and look forward to seeing you. Always appreciate your time, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much, Chase.
And that is Brad Keselowski joining us here on Chasing Checkers, and always enjoy our conversations with him. Coming up next, we'll talk to his teammate / I guess employee, Ryan Preece, the driver of the number 60 for RFK Racing. He joins us next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. And one of the drivers you will see coming up in a few weeks, the driver of the number 60 for RFK Racing, Ryan Preece, is on the line with us. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, and I love everything about Nashville, I can tell you that. I got two guitars sitting in my shop, and, you know, it'd be nice to win a third so I could start a band.
So, yeah, you won the first two truck series races here at the Nashville Super Speedway, and I think those were your first two truck series races that you had actually driven in. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, that place has been really good to me. Ever since, you know, the first time I got on the racetrack, I've really grown to like it. And then on top of that, just venturing around Broadway and going down to downtown Nashville, it was it's just somewhere that I really like.
Did you ever race at the fairgrounds at all?
I did not race the fairgrounds.
Okay. I don't know, because you know, that's obviously a subject. What Nashville Super Speedway has done has been fantastic. The racing's great. They put on a really good show. I'm excited about three night races this year. But you know, to have the fairgrounds involved too would be really neat to see, because they're two completely different tracks.
Oh yeah. I will say, I went there last year. And man, I think that place is so awesome. And it's just walking in through the tunnel in the infield, I just, it'd be great to see that place racing and, you know, whether it be the trucks, Xfinity Cup or whatever, go there and, you know, or at least just keep racing going there. So, it definitely seems like a really special racetrack.
I will make a promise to you that if they race it at the fairgrounds, I will make sure they put the cone in the middle where it's visible. Okay. Cause I felt bad for you the other night in the All-Star race.
Yeah. That was a bit frustrating. Because like, I get the rule and I understand it. And would I have hit it if it was painted invisible? I highly doubt I would have. I think I don't know. I've moved on, to be honest with you. I think at that time, at that day and moment, I wasn't on the bingo card. So it's moving forward. But I think, you know, common sense, or if you looked at something like that and you can tell that there's a problem during the event, maybe we needed to adjust accordingly. But at the end of the day, I can talk about it, I can get frustrated about it, I can do a whole lot of things about it, but still ran it over, so nothing's going to change that.
Well, because here's my thing, there were two things that really stood out to me with it. One, when they showed kind of the wide shot on TV that obviously you can't see from the car, I could barely see the thing. Like, it was covered up in rubber and all of that. And so I think people lose sight of, you know, well, I can see it or whatever. You guys, you can't really move your head around all that much. I mean, you're relying on the what little sight you have and then your spotter. And so I understood how easy it was for you to, you know, kind of miss it. And so I do wonder if NASCAR looks at that. And, you know, because I love the choose rule. I don't know how you feel about it as a driver. I think it's cool, but I do think it needs to be in a position where you guys can clearly see it and know what you're doing.
Well, and to be honest with you, TV magic can make something look really bright.
Yes.
When at the racetrack, if you're there, I promise you, you couldn't see it. Even, you know, anybody in the grandstands or whatnot. But, yeah, I just, you know, moving forward, that's kind of an anomaly. Typically, you're able to see it. There's not a moment where you're saying, hey, I don't know where it is, where this weekend with all the, you know, all the other racing going on and it not getting repainted, I guess, after some of it, you could not see it. So, but yeah, I mean, moving on, it's something that, you know, the one takeaway I'll say is we had a really fast car. I think we were pretty much the only car that could start, you know, wherever it was and make progress and move forward and, you know, potentially win it. I thought we were going to win that race. So that would have been nice. But, you know, there's always next week, and the clock certainly reset at midnight. And now our focus is on the 600.
Ryan Preece is with us. I had Brad Keselowski on earlier, and, you know, your boss and teammate at RFK. And I asked him the same question I'm going to ask you. The speed seems to be there. Do you feel like you guys are close?
Yeah, I definitely do. I feel like we have really, really good, you know, a really, really good Ford Mustang. And this weekend, we're not only going to have a really good one that drives good, but we're going to have one that would smell good too with Irish Spring on the on the hood. So, you know, thanks to Kroger and all our partners, it's definitely a lot of fun being involved and having them as a partner. And we're looking forward to 600 miles.
Well, do you prepare differently for 600 miles than you would for a normal race?
No, not for me. I try to stay hydrated and do all those things, but I think the biggest thing is during the event, you just need to be able to stay up on, you know, eating something because, you know, you can get pretty worn down and beat down pretty quick.
So we mentioned earlier in the interview, coming to Nashville, the Nashville Super Speedway, obviously you've had success there in the Truck Series. What is it about this track that makes it so fun? Because it's not quite a mile and a half. It's 1.33. So does it drive like a short track, or is it kind of like somewhere in between?
Yeah, actually it does. It's somewhere in between, but it definitely has short track characteristics, especially during the day when it's slick and hot. But that's what makes it exciting. Not only for us race car drivers, because there's different options of where you can run and make speed, but also for the fans, because it puts on a good show.
Ryan Preece is hanging out with us. Ryan, we're really looking forward to seeing you guys coming up here in a few weeks, and best of luck this weekend in the Coke 600.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Ryan Preece, driver of the number 60 for RFK Racing, and looking forward to seeing him in a few weeks here in Nashville, and also what he's got in the Coca-Cola 600 coming up this weekend. Coming up next, we continue the conversations with our great drivers. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who drives the 47, will join us coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. Get your tickets by calling 1-866-RACE-TIX or visiting NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com for the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend coming up next weekend, May 30th through June the 1st.
You're in the Pod Center on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
We are moving right along here on Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Wednesday, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. And one of the drivers you're going to see in just a couple of weeks, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He drives the number 47 for Hayek Motorsports. Ricky, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, man, we're doing good. Actually enjoying some time here in Nashville. Came in about a week and a half early. So just left Fort Campbell and headed back towards the city. Just been, you know, promoting this Cracker Barrel 400 coming up June 1st.
It seems like you drivers, we don't really have to twist your arm to get you to come to Nashville. It feels like you all are very, very excited to come to our city.
Nashville, I think that's the whole country. Everybody loves Nashville. So, no, it's great. If I could do one thing in Nashville, I would just, move the racetrack a little closer to the city. But other than that, we love this place. It's a concrete racetrack, something that's totally different, than what we're used to, on a weekly basis. So, it kind of throws a wrench in our setups, but it's really fun. We got, racing it at night is a cool thing too. I feel like Nashville always looks cool under the lights. And then, like you said, we like venturing off into the city, when we get some time off from the racetrack. So always looking forward to coming down here.
I asked Ryan Preece this earlier. Does it race similar to a short track? I know it's above a mile, but it's not quite a mile and a half. So is it kind of like a short track or somewhere in between?
It is definitely in between. I mean, I feel like you end up using more brake than you do at like a mile and a half racetrack, but less brake than you use at like a short track. But, with the concrete, you really got to get your car to work, the front tires better so that you can turn, especially it gets really tight off of turn four at Nashville. That wall comes up really quick. You can kind of race all over the place. I've ran really well here, kind of up off the bottom a little bit. I've ran some really good laps right around the bottom. So, being at night, it changes things up a little bit. I would assume the preferred line is going to be right around the bottom. And if your car's working, you'll be able to run the top of the racetrack as well. So, I would say it's kind of just right in the middle of, a mile and a half and a short track.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is here with us on Chasing Checkers. How's it been with Hayek Motorsports? I know it's been a bit of a change, the name change from what it was. You've been there a few years now, but what has that been like this year?
It's been good. We, on the competition side, haven't had a whole lot of change. It's been mainly kind of the front office and sponsorship stuff. So, it's nice that my guys, back in the shop working can kind of just keep their head down and not really worry about the change and just focus on, what we're doing week in and week out on the racetrack. And so, coming here to Nashville, we'll have a NOS Energy Drink Camaro and looking to carry some momentum, hopefully from Charlotte this weekend on over here to Nashville. Charlotte and Nashville are good racetracks for us. And so looking forward to just getting here and keeping my guys focused on the competition side. We're 14th in points right now, which is, I'm kind of thrilled about. I think, we still got some potential and work to do on our race car to make it better. So I like where we're sitting.
Do you feel like, you're a guy that everybody looks at, especially when you go to the super speedways, that you're certainly one to watch. But I also feel like you guys are getting to a point where it's more than that, where, you mentioned Nashville and Charlotte, being good tracks for you. Do you feel like that's going to help you as the season goes along, that you guys are really going to be in contention at more than just the super speedways?
I think so. And I'd love nothing more than to win, a Gibson guitar here in Nashville. So that'd be huge. And, I think for us, the mile and a half racetracks, I think are kind of that next area that we can, break through and get a win. Those are the ones that we're focused on. We had a really good car at Texas, struggled a little bit at Kansas, but had a good car at Las Vegas as well. So looking forward to, getting to Charlotte this weekend. I think we'll have a good car there. And then, like I said, carry that momentum into Nashville weekend.
What did you think about the racing at North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race? I know it was a little less dramatic for you this year, which was good, but what I thought the racing was really good. What did you think from the driver's seat?
Yeah, it was good. I thought, the racetrack has aged a decent amount in just a couple years since they repaved it. I feel like SMI did a great job with that repave and, talking with their engineers, kind of what they were looking at doing is seems like it's kind of, working exactly the way they thought. So, we can obviously get more aggressive probably with the tires still to get a little bit more fall off. It seems like once we fell off to kind of a 19-second lap time. We just kind of stayed there and never really got any worse than that. But I thought the racing was good. I mean, heck, we were 3 and 4 wide at times. Good battles for the lead, a pass for the win there. And, you know, yeah, way less dramatic for us, which that was the plan going in, is, you know, not get wrecked and not be mad at anybody. So we came out of there with no issues.
Is it ready for a points race, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be a points race. You know, I think a lot of us, I mean, if they threw a points race in there, we'd all be fine with it. It's just a wild track, man. It feels like a lot smaller, you know, than like a Martinsville, even though I don't really know if it is. So, you know, but it just races really cool, because if your car is working around the bottom, you can really make some good passes. Obviously, you get your car working around the top, it'll be tough for somebody to pass you. But I did like how we could run really all over that racetrack. There's not a lot of short tracks that we have that you're capable of doing that.
You know, I feel like in a kind of a dream world, it'd be like the old days where there'd be a true short track season, you know, and Wilkesboro could obviously be a part of that. As a driver, would you like that? Or do you like that it's kind of spread out where you could be at an intermediate 1 week, the short track, a road course, a super speedway, and just keep it a little more diverse?
For us as a single car team, I like the mix up. I like that, you know, we don't go to all these tracks at one time, because I feel like, you know, we learn at a slower rate being a single car team. And so for us to, you know, be able to race North Wilkesboro, really debrief about it until, I mean, I guess kind of Gateway's our next kind of short track corners where you're using a lot of brake getting in turn one. And so I think for us, it's better to kind of have the tracks, you know, being mixed up so that we can try to evolve our setups and get better.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is with us. All right, so being from Olive Branch, just outside of Memphis, did you get to Nashville a lot growing up, or mainly just stay down in Memphis?
I got up to Nashville a decent amount, came here for a couple birthdays as I got older, and then we did some dirt racing around Clarksville, yep. Crossville, you know, some of those areas, and Atomic Speedway, and or Atwood Speedway, I mean. So, yeah, we got up around this way a decent amount of times, and it has changed a lot since I started coming here back in the day.
It's definitely changed quite a bit. Ricky, we're looking forward to seeing you here in a couple weeks at the racetrack, but enjoy your time in Nashville the rest of the day, and we'll certainly talk to you soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Hopefully we can see some of your listeners out there. If not, you know, our races will be on Amazon Prime. We got 5 races coming up on Amazon Prime, so make sure people tune in.
And appreciate Ricky Stenhouse Jr. for joining us here on the program. I mean, we had 3 great drivers in Brad Keselowski, Ryan Preece, and then Ricky join us here. As we wrap things up, it's one of my favorite weekends. You got the Grand Prix of Monaco to start things off Sunday morning, Indianapolis 500 after that, and then the Coca-Cola 600 with NASCAR to cap it all off. I think it's going to be a fabulous weekend of racing. Obviously, here we're looking at Kyle Larson. He's attempting the double for the 2nd year in a row. Last year, Mother Nature kind of cut it short. It's looking better for this year, and so hopefully I'd love to see him run all the laps in both races. Obviously, it'd be really cool to see him win one of them. It'd be even cooler to see him win both of them, but we will see. He talked after one of the practices earlier this week and kind of gave an update on his Indy 500 car.
Yeah, I thought it was decent. You know, I feel like when you're out there, everybody kind of looks pretty similar. So, yeah, just try to get a little racy at times just to learn a little bit for the race. But it's so different in practice. You know, I feel like there's more accordion and all that opens up passing, where the race is a little bit more difficult to pass. So, but balance, you know, definitely feels a little different than last year. Like, there's more of a balance shift throughout the run than I remember having. But, yeah, it's fun. It seems more challenging.
I think he learned a lot from last year with the whole situation, and obviously how to drive an Indy car. He's obviously learned a lot through qualifying and practice and everything that he's done this year. So look, I don't think anybody would be surprised if Kyle Larson is a player again. He's got to come from the back, You know, he's deep in the field, but that'll be tough. But if anyone can do it, I think he can as well. Shifting to Charlotte, to the Coca-Cola 600, you heard me ask some of the drivers if there's any kind of different preparation that you go through because it's such a long race. I asked Ross Chastain, who joined us last week. We had a podcast exclusive with him. You can go check that out by just searching Chasing Checkers. I asked him about racing in the 600.
Take a snack inside the car with me, man. We're in there for a long time. The 2022 World 600 was the longest mileage and timed race that I know of in the modern era of NASCAR history. So as far as I understand it to be, that was a wild one. I didn't run, but I had a swift, quick walk to the porta potty when I got done with that race. Just trying to put ourselves in position for the end. We don't have the speed right now to compete right off the bat. And so we're working through that. And we've been working on the sim, like the virtual laps that I'm able to run to give feedback to my team. And we've already been doing that for Charlotte. So that's high on the list, high on the priority board to go there and compete. We want to see the front. We want to be in the mix and give ourselves a shot. We want to lead 400 laps and make it boring like the 19th or Martin Truex did a couple years ago. I don't remember which car he was in, but he led a ton of that race, and that's the goal. He set the precedent for some of that stuff in a lot of these races, and that's what I strive for. I just want to be competitive and go race and have a chance to win. And if it shakes out in our favor, great. If it doesn't, I want to be up there and put ourselves in position. That means we're doing the right things off the track, and we just haven't been putting ourselves in a position to even really see the front as much as we want.
So again, a fantastic weekend of racing will be on hand, and you can hear the Indianapolis 500 beginning at 10 o'clock on 102.5 The Game that Sunday morning, and then the Coca-Cola 600 will be later that night also on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. My thanks to the Nashville Super Speedway for their great support as always. Again, NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or 1-866-RACETICKS. That's where you can get your Cracker Barrel 400 weekend tickets. They got three great races, the Rackley Roofing 200, the Tennessee Lottery 250, and of course, the Cup Series and the Cracker Barrel 400. We're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to another edition of Chasing Checkers coming up next week, Wednesday at 6 o'clock. I'm Chase McCabe on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.